Welcome to Already Perfect, the Seattle Soto Zen podcast. And I needed a push to get me to see wherever I am, I'm already free.
Good morning. How's the sound? Can everyone hear me? Excellent. So, welcome to our online 3-day session. So glad that you could make it today. And yesterday, April 8th was actually Buddha's birthday, which I totally forgot about until I saw it on Instagram yesterday. So when we can meet in person again in a physical zendo, we'll celebrate Buddha's birthday with a special ceremony. It's a very sweet ceremony. There's a kind of the centerpiece of the zendo is this little statue of the baby Buddha, and he's sort of rising out of this bowl of sweet tea, and he's got this flower canopy over top of him, and the part of the ceremony is all the members of the Sangha take a spoonful of the sweet tea and pour it over this statue so that we're bathing the baby Buddha. It's a really sweet ceremony. At San Francisco Zen Center, we would have it outdoors in this public park across the street from the Zen Center. And we really tried to make it child friendly. Most Zen ceremonies are not terribly interesting to little children, but this is one that they really enjoyed. So hopefully we can do that again someday. And I would probably give a Dharma talk that has something to do with Buddha's birthday, but this is 2021 and the calendar doesn't mean anything. So I'm not going to talk about Buddha's birthday. I'm going to talk about Master Dogen's Gendra Koan, because that's what I said I would talk about. At the end of last year, we had a practice council meeting. And I was the one who said, oh yeah, next year, let's have all of my Dharma talks will be about Dogen's writings. And for some reason at the time, I thought it was a good idea. And earlier in the year, I taught a series on 2-month series on Dogen's Bendowa. And other members of the practice council said, well, along with Bendowa, you should say something about Gendra Koan. And I said, nah, everybody talks about Gendra Koan. I'm sure people are kind of tired of it and they've probably heard better series of talks on Gendra Koan than I could give. But then they reminded me that most of y'all haven't spent 9 of the past 11 years living in a Zen monastery, so probably haven't done as many practice period classes as I have. So I hope that's true. I hope that you're not tired of hearing Gendra Koan. It's one of the most famous pieces of Dogen's writings, and for good reason. It really deserves to be well-loved and well-known. It's just got the poetic imagery is just so beautiful, And the Dharma teaching is very, very deep and profound. I don't really feel so confident in my ability to really say anything helpful about it, because it's already so beautiful. And, you know, on the other hand, Master Dogen Shobo Genzo is notoriously very difficult to understand without a guide. It's, you know, the Zen poet Ryokan, he talked about his first time reading Master Dogen's writings. It actually wasn't Shobo Genzo, it was in an abridged collection that was popular at the time. And he said he was so moved by the beauty of the writings and his joy at being able to read them that he wept tears of joy, and his robe was soaked and the book was soaked, and he was really embarrassed about it later because someone asked him, Why are you so wet? And he was like, I got caught in a rainstorm. He didn't want to admit that he'd been crying all night because he loved Shobo Genzo so much. And so in my first year living as a Zen monk, I decided to read the 95 fascicle Shobo Genzo cover to cover. I understood wanting to cry. But not really tears of joy. it's difficult. It's really hard to wrap your brain around a lot of what Dogen says. For a long time, I blamed the quality of the English translations that were available to me. But since then, I've talked to several native Japanese speakers about Master Dogen, and they've assured me that it's a challenging read in pretty much any language. The term Shobo Genzo, that's the title for this particular collection of Dogen Zenji's Zen essays, his writings on Zen. And it the term Shobo Genzo, it translates to the treasury of the true Dharma eye, which is not a title that Dogen made up. It's actually the story of the first Dharma transmission is where you come across the term Shobo Genzo. So there's a very famous story that the Buddha was... it was announced that the Buddha was giving a Dharma talk. So people showed up early and they were sitting on their cushions waiting for the Buddha to speak. And the Buddha went and took his seat at the front of the crowd. And while everyone was waiting for him to say something, he picked up a flower and he held it up and whirled it. And then he winked. And so most of the people in the audience were, you know, kind of either bored or confused because they were, you know, waiting for the Dharma talk to start. But this one guy, the Buddha student, Mahakashyapa, when the Buddha twirled the flower and winked, Mahakashyapa grinned and maybe even chuckled a little bit. So the story is that he'd received some message that was given not in words. And the Buddha immediately acknowledged publicly that he had sent out this important unspoken teaching and that Mahakashyapa had received it. He said, I have the treasury of the true Dharma eye, the wondrous heart of Nirvana, the formless true form, the subtle Dharma gate, not depending on words and letters, a special transmission outside the scriptures. These encouraging words I now entrust to the monk Mahakashyapa. That's the story anyway. And when Dogen was studying in Song Dynasty China, there was another book that was called Shobo Genzo, which was a very famous collection of koans published by the very famous Zen teacher Dawei. And he called it the treasury of the true Dharma eye. And then Dogen, when he returned to Japan, he started working on his own Shobo Genzo. But the first Shobo Genzo that Master Dogen started was not this collection of essays. It was his own koan collection. So there was a Chinese koan collection called the Shobo Genzo. And Dogen said, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to have my own koan collection, Shobo Genzo, which he did. It's a collection of 300 koans, but it's actually not what today we usually call the Shobo Genzo. Instead, it's this, called the Shinji Shobo Genzo. So it's the koan Shobo Genzo. Because at some later point, Master Dogen decided he wanted his true legacy to be these essays and not his koan collection. So a lot of the essays in what today is normally referred to just as Shobo Genzo were originally Dharma talks that Master Dogen reworked into literary essays. Actually, Genjo Koan was written as a letter to a lay disciple originally. So to differentiate it from the Shinji Shobo Genzo, sometimes called the Kana Shobo Genzo, which translates to kind of vernacular Shobo Genzo, because it was written in Japanese, which was unusual at the time. So most Japanese Zen teachers, when they wrote any Zen teachings, they would write it in Chinese characters. And of course, Chinese characters are used in written Japanese, but it's really complicated. I don't understand it. But the Shobo Genzo was written in the vernacular. Shinji Shobo Genzo was actually written in Chinese characters, and so was the Ehe Kuroko, which is a collection of Dogen's Dharma talks that were actually written by him, but they're written in a different style and also not in vernacular Japanese, like the Kana Shobo Genzo. And there's also the Shobo Genzo Zui Monkey, which is what Norman and Kathy Fisher are currently teaching a series of classes about, which is a collection of Master Dogen's Dharma talks that were recorded by his students, especially Koan Eijo, who was his successor at Eheiji, the next abbot at Eheiji after Dogen died. And as if that weren't enough confusion for this morning, the Kana Shobo Genzo itself has had several incarnations. So in Dogen's own lifetime, he compiled two different collections. So there's one of 60 fascicles and one of 75, which didn't overlap exactly. So it wasn't, the 75 one wasn't the 60 plus 15. There were some other ones that went in and out of Dogen's favor. So in his lifetime, there was a collection of 60 and a collection of 75 fascicles. I try to say essay instead of fascicle because there's already enough strange words in Zen without adding more. So fascicle is basically an essay. It's a kind of a collection of one of a collected set of writings on a theme. So, and then after Dogen died, he was rediscovered several times, including in poet Ryokan's lifetime, which was about 500 years after Dogen's death. He had a renaissance. So there were 12 fascicle, 28 fascicle, 89 fascicle, all kinds of different collections of Shobogenzo. And today the most popular one is a collection of 95 fascicles. In the 60 essay collection and 75 essay collections that Dogen compiled in his lifetime, Genjo Koan was the first essay. So the Nishiura Bokusan says about this. This fascicle Genjo Koan is the most difficult of the entire Shobogenzo. Even the teachers of old made mistakes and developed distorted views. Yeah, this is really encouraging me already. All of you should open the great vital eye and penetrate Dogen Zenji's words without sparing your body or life. This fascicle is the skin, flesh, bones, and marrow of Dogen. The fundamental teaching of Dogen's lifetime is expounded in this fascicle. The Buddha Dharma of his entire life is revealed in this work. The 95 fascicles of Shobogenzo are the offshoots of this fascicle. In general, when the old teachers presented their essential teaching, they each had one phrase that none of their predecessors had chosen and on which they based their life of teaching. With this phrase, they penetrated a whole lifetime. Teachers in the past did not have two phrases. Therefore, that one phrase expressed their Dharmakaya. For example, the one bright pearl of Xuanxia, the cypress tree of Jiaozhou, and this very mind is Buddha of Mazu are all words of iron never spoken by anyone before. With one phrase, they thrust forward the suchness of the cosmos and set in motion the same wheel of Dharma as the Buddha. The same thing can be said of Dogen. He sees straight through the world of the 10 directions as Genjo Koan, which are his words of iron. When this phrase is cracked, the 95 fascicles appear here and there as branches of it. For that reason, the lifetime teaching of Dogen is all in the one phrase, Genjo Koan. So this fascicle is placed first in the 75 fascicle version of Shobogenzo, edited by Master Eijo. It was done under the supervision of Dogen, who had the vision for the basic teaching of the school. Bendawa, on the other hand, is placed first in the 95 fascicle version, which is most commonly read now. This version is arranged according to the dates when the fascicles were first expounded. I was like today years old when I realized that that was why the order of the fascicles in the 95 fascicle version of Shobogenzo were arranged that way. I mean, it would have been easy for me to find out, but I never looked into it. So they're arranged in order of oldest first. So This version is arranged according to the dates when the fascicles were first expounded. We can see why Dogen expounded Bendawa first when we think about this compassionate heart that raised the teaching of correctly transmitted samadhi in Japan, where Zen was not yet spread. However, it is in Genjo Koan that Dogen opened up his body and mind and presented the foundation of the Buddha's lifetime Dharma. Thus, Dogen Zenji concentrated his mind wholeheartedly on this fascicle, explaining it in detail. Both the style and the teaching are exquisitely profound and subtle. Therefore, you who are his Dharma descendants should read this fascicle day and night with respect and make it the root of your practice, birth after birth, world after world. No pressure. So now that we hear what an important phrase Genjo Koan is, what actually does it mean? So it's four Chinese characters. And I'll start with the easy part. Koan is two characters that translate to public case. So this was originally a term used in China for government edicts. So to the modern equivalent would maybe be like a Supreme Court ruling. So this is, you know, a public case. This is like a new law of the land. And in Zen, there was a long tradition, a continuing tradition, to record the sayings and doings of the great teachers. So their Dharma talks, and also these kind of public teaching encounters. So those of you who attended Daikan Sama's Shuso ceremony last December, you saw a version of this public teaching encounter, which is when a Zen practitioner is ready to take on a teaching and leadership role. They serve as head student for a monastic training period. And it's usually the first time the student gives public Dharma talks and teaches classes. And at the end of this monastic training period, there's a ceremony called the Shuso Hosen Shiki. Hosen Shiki is Dharma combat. So everybody in the training period is invited to ask the head student a Dharma question. And the head student responds in a clear voice with authority to each question. At Seattle Soto Zen, we say Dharma inquiry instead of Dharma combat, because you know it's not really about trying to win. You know, I'm not trying to beat the Shuso, and they're not trying to prove they're smarter than me. It's an opportunity for the head student to express their personal understanding of the Buddha Dharma through answering these questions. And it's an opportunity for the community to receive insight, not only by hearing the answer to my own question, which, you know, might be an important Dharma question that I've been thinking about for a long time and really crave an answer to, but I also get to hear the answers to other people's questions. So, the Shuso Hoshin Shiki questions and answers usually didn't get recorded. So most of the records of, you know, these teaching encounters are from that make it into these, you know, collections of Zen sayings were from Shosan ceremonies, which are is similar, except it's the abbot's the one in the hot seat and not the head student. And, you know, sometimes there's informal conversations as well. Like, you know, a monk was walking with his teacher and they were crossing a bridge and the teacher said something really profound as they were crossing the bridge. And when they got home, the student wrote it down. So there's these collections of Dharma talks and teaching encounters. But these exchanges are not quite the same as koans. They're not public cases. They become a koan when another teacher comments on them. So a lot of these teaching stories, there'll be an initial story, and then it'll say, you know, later, this other teacher was asked, well, what did teacher A mean when he said whatever? And teacher B says, oh, he meant whatever. And once that happens, it becomes a koan. So this is for those of you who went to Hebrew school, it's kind of like the Talmudic commentary, where there's a commentary on the text and then a commentary on the commentary. So if you have a commentary on the commentary, then it counts as a koan. But until then, it's just a teaching story. Or again, you know, following up with our analogy of the original public cases being like a Supreme Court ruling, this is kind of like a legal precedent, right? So there's a ruling and then it gets expanded to apply to other situations. So it's very interesting because usually when people ask what's the difference between Rinzai Zen and Soto Zen, usually the answer is that the Soto school doesn't emphasize koans, whereas the Rinzai school does. And it's not untrue, but if you try to study Soto Zen, you can't turn around without bumping into koans everywhere. So there isn't the same formal curriculum of studying koans in a certain order. They're still very important. So that is the koan half of the word genjo koan. Genjo is much more complicated. So this book is Dogen's Genjo Koan, which is three different commentaries on Genjo Koan in order of the oldest first, just like the 95 fascicle version of Shobo Genzo. And so this is Uchiyama Roshi's explanation. He says, I am very sorry that at the beginning of my lecture, I have to talk about the following quotation from Gosho, which is difficult to read and understand. So there's a very famous early commentary on the Shobo Genzo by Sene, which is called Gosho. I'm sorry that I have to talk about the following quotation from Sene's Gosho, which is difficult to read and understand. However, since this is important, I will quote the original sentences from Gosho and discuss the meaning of Genjo Koan. First, Gosho says about Genjo, Genjo, to appear or become, does not mean that something which was concealed appears at this moment. We should not understand Genjo as opposed to hidden. Gen, appearing, has nothing to do with the dichotomy of hidden and apparent. Jo, becoming, has nothing to do with effort and study. Those two characters, Gen is appearing and Jo is becoming. Based on this comment, Nishiyaro Zenji said in his commentary on Genjo Koan, "Gen is something which is beyond hidden and apparent, and Jo is something beyond becoming and decaying. The common meaning of Gen is to appear. How can we say that something appears at a certain moment? It is a matter of degree. When we compare past and present, or when something becomes clearer than it was before, we say that it appears. Jo is the same. However, a discussion based on such comparison is incomplete. We should go beyond comparison or dichotomy and say that the true Gen is beyond appearing and disappearing, existence and non-existence, and Jo is beyond creation and destruction." Again, the common meaning of Gen is to appear, but how can we say that something appears at a certain moment? It is a matter of degree. When we compare past and present, or when something becomes clearer than it was before, we say that it appears. Jo is the same. Jo again means becoming. However, a discussion based on such comparison is incomplete. We should go beyond comparison or dichotomy and say that the true Gen is beyond appearing and disappearing, existence and non-existence, and Jo is beyond creation and destruction. Sene actually continues on from there with so he has an alternate reading of Koan, which is really confusing. So there's the typical way of writing koan, as in these Zen stories, is the on has the character on has a radical for wood, and it kind of the entire character has sort of the meaning of like the principal's desk. So ko is for government official, and on is like the furniture, like the judge's bench. So ko is a judge, and on is their bench or their desk. But the on that Dogen uses, the radical is hand. So the character means more to push or to press. So Sene goes on at length about why Dogen wrote on this way and not the usual way. It probably wasn't that important. It was probably just a different way of writing the character. I hope so anyway. But if you really want to know about that, you can ask Sene. I'm not going to say anything else. I've said too much already. I can't actually read Chinese characters, so I'm going to stop talking now before you realize how little I know. So Uchiyama Roshi continues, and I really like this part. This part makes the rest of it worth it to me. Says, "I have explained the Buddhist understanding of Genjo Koan according to Sene Zenji. In this traditional interpretation, each word means just, this is it, being beyond any comparison and dichotomy. Each word in this expression, Genjo Koan, four characters, here and now, must have its unique meaning. By tasting the meaning of each word, I have made a liberal translation of Genjo Koan into modern Japanese. The ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. I've explained the Buddhist understanding of Genjo Koan according to Sene Zenji. In this traditional interpretation, each word means just this is it, being beyond any comparison and dichotomy. Each word in this expression, genjo kowan, here and now, must have its unique meaning. By tasting the meaning of each word, I have made the liberal translation of genjo kowan into modern Japanese, the ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. So Kaz Ta-Nehisi translates genjo kowan as actualizing the fundamental point. Stephen Hine translates it as realization here and now. And Nishijima and Cross translate genjo kowan as the realized universe. And I'd like to share a little segment from another commentary on genjo kowan. This is by Master Yachitani. Says, once again, let's express the substance of the title genjo kowan in rather concrete terms. Genjo kowan means what is manifest, genjo, is itself absolute reality, kowan. It means that all phenomena are the supreme way. The supreme way is the original self. All phenomena are the supreme way, and the supreme way is the original self. People hearing this for the first time are surprised. They can't believe their own ears. There is no point in vacantly gazing off into the distance looking for the supreme way. Isn't it taught in Dogen Zenji's Bendowa that the Buddha way is right beneath one's feet? Or rather, not so much what's under the feet as the feet themselves. The feet are the Buddha way. The hands are the Buddha way. One's whole body and mind are the Buddha way. One's whole life is the Buddha way. Huanglong indicated this saying, both my hand and the Buddha's hand, or both my foot and a donkey's foot. This is also what is meant by Matsu's mind is Buddha, and no mind, no Buddha. It is also what Dogen Zenji expresses as to study the Buddha way is to study the self. It's not so much what's under the feet as the feet themselves. The feet are the Buddha way. The hands are the Buddha way. The whole body and mind are the Buddha way. The whole human life is the Buddha way. Now look, having gazed out at the phenomenal world and explained that that is the Buddha way, that is a manifestation of truth, is not enough. The whole phenomenal world is entirely myself. Therefore, the clouds, the mountains, the flowers, the sound of a fart, and the smell of piss, earthquakes, thunder, and fire are all the original self. Reading sutras and holding services, telling lies, gossiping, ugliness, cuteness, everything together is supreme enlightenment. And everything is your original self that is perfectly without lack and is completely fulfilled in itself. Don't be surprised. That is genjo kowan. Throwing everything into a big bag and saying, well, everything, whatever it may be, is the Buddha Dharma, doesn't amount to anything. You might say that's the absolute value, but if you take away the most important thing, which is yourself, out of the picture, what is left of this value? Who judges value? It's not living the supreme way of the original self. So then let me sum up the fact that everything is the supreme way, everything is the true self. It's as if the whole universe is nothing but the continuous development of the complete, perfect performance of one great living drama with all the best actors. Further, this great drama is limited always to one time only. There are never any retakes. And then don't forget, everywhere and always, the self plays the main character. No, it's not even the main character. To say it truly, all the actors, plus the stage, the scenery, the theater, and the audience, all are parts of the self. Actually, each is the whole of the self. It's a perfect one-man show. To say it another way, the original self is the general manager of the universal drama. Master Swanshaw expressed this as, the whole universe in the 10 directions is one bright pearl. Master Changsha said, the whole universe in the 10 directions is the single eye of a humble monk. This is what Shakyamuni Buddha proclaimed as, above the heavens and below the heavens, I alone am the world-honored one. What do you think? Having this experience is a little different from saying a manifestation of the truth, isn't it? This is the meaning of Zhaozhou's asking, the perfect way is not difficult. Only avoid picking and choosing. What is this not picking and choosing? Sojin Mel Weitzman used to say that we live in a non-repeatable universe, which the first time I heard it, I became, you know, quite irrationally furious, because it's a very cruel truth, isn't it? That we live in a non-repeatable universe. You know, and that's why we suffer, right? As I say something stupid or hurtful, and the moment these words leave my mouth, I realize, crap, that was not at all what I wanted to say. And no matter how quickly I realize that, I'm too late, because I can't catch up with these words and stuff them back in my mouth and swallow them. You know, they've been said. And now I have to continue living in the reality in which I said this stupid, hurtful thing that I know I shouldn't have said. And as soon as I said it, I knew it was wrong. And, you know, when things are going great, I just want time to slow down, right? I want to stretch out the moment for as long as I can and stay happy. And then, you know, when maybe I'm sitting in Sesshin and my knee hurts, I just really want time to speed up. I want the Eno to hit the bell right now, right? But the universe doesn't pay any attention to what I want. It won't obey my wishes. Now, I remember I made a friend through this grief support group. And I said to her, you know, I would give up 10 years of my life if I could have just one more day with my daughter. And she said, yes, yes, me too. Like, immediately I would do that. And then a little while later, I said, you know, if I could do that, I would in an instant. But on the other hand, I'm sort of relieved that I don't actually have the option, that, you know, that isn't a choice I can make. Because, you know, I get in enough trouble and there's enough responsibility in just living my life from present moment to present moment. I know I wouldn't be able to handle anything more than that. It would just be such a burden, you know. I no human being would be able to do that. So that kind of feels like the closest I've ever come to the ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. This sort of, I don't always like the present moment, and I understand that this is enough space in which to live my life. This is what the human life is. This is the Genjo Koan, is this present moment as it appears. I've heard teachers in Suzuki Roshi's lineage translate Genjo Koan as the koan of everyday life. And then some of us Soto folks who kind of pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, we don't need to study koan curriculum like those Rinzai folks, because our everyday life is our koan. We study this koan every day, which is, you know, not a really a proper understanding of koans. The great Korean Rinzai teacher Sung San said, what am I is the complete question. And actually every koan is understood through our everyday life, because, you know, this misunderstanding that koans are like these verbal riddles and they're these unanswerable mind games, which is not true. They koans do have an answer, and the answer is expressed through my everyday life, living in the present moment. You know, it's the answer to every koan is found in the ordinary profundity of the present moment becoming the present moment. And every koan is the complete question, what am I? There's a really lovely story that I think sums up the meaning of Genjo Koan. And this was a story of our founder in the West, Suzuki Roshi, one of our founders in the West. And after the war, he wanted to start a kindergarten. And he invited this woman named Mitsu to teach the children, to be the principal and administer the school. And Mitsu said, oh, but I can't teach at a Buddhist school, I'm a Christian. And Suzuki Roshi said, oh, I don't have a problem with that. And Mitsu sensei said, why is it about you? But he talked her into it. So she took the job. And then after a while, Mitsu sensei came to Suzuki Roshi and she said, you know, I've been listening to your Dharma talks, and you know, I'm feeling kind of frustrated. I don't really understand Dogen at all. You just spent 40 minutes talking about four characters. How is this not a waste of my time? Like, what really is the point of all of this Buddhist teaching? And Suzuki Roshi said, accept what is as it is and help it to be its best. Accept what is as it is and help it to be its best. So, you know, when people say that, criticize Buddhism as being, you know, really pessimistic and defeatist, I think it's because they only hear the first half of that phrase. So accept what is as it is, you know, hearing this cruel truth that I can't repeat my life. This is a non-repeatable universe. I have to live with my mistakes. But it's through accepting this truth, through inhabiting the moment that I've created with all of my bad decisions, all of my good intentions, all of my love and pain and confusion. Inhabiting this present moment as the only moment available for me to live in. It's through this that I'm able to liberate myself and to liberate others. To accept what is as it is and help it be its best. The beloved Jewish mystic Martin Buber, he told this story about another beloved Jewish mystic. And since Martin Buber wrote a commentary on it, it counts as a koan now. So the story is, there was a rabbi named Rabbi Zusha. He was a timid man who lived a humble life. One day, Rabbi Zusha stood before his congregation and he said, "When I die and have to present myself before the celestial court, they will not ask me, 'Zusha, why were you not Moses?' Because if they asked me that, I would say, 'Moses was a prophet and I am not.' They will not say to me, 'Zusha, why were you not Jeremiah?' Because then I would say, 'Jeremiah was a writer, and I am not.' And they won't ask me, 'Why were you not Rabbi Akiba?' Because then I would tell them, 'Rabbi Akiba was a great teacher and a scholar, and I am not.' Instead, they will say to me, 'Zusha, why were you not Rabbi Zusha?' And for this, I will have no answer. Accept what is as it is, including myself, and help it to be its best." If I'd started with that, we could have saved a lot of time. Thank you very much for your patient listening. And I needed a push to get me to see. Wherever I am, I'm already free.
Thank you for listening. Please find us at seattlesotozen.org. Our theme music is by Stuart Davis. Gosho!